and welcome back to Give Us Morg. I'm Niamh, and normally I would be joined by Megan, but sadly, Megan's off living a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity in Malta. But don't you ever fret, she is behind the scenes helping. I'm sure by now you've probably seen her on the Instagram, and she was with me live there the other day. So she's still around, she's going nowhere. We are still killing it in the podcast game, I would like to hope. So last week I told you about the sad story of Angela Hammond, and this week I have a very spooky episode. It's a sad episode again as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, get cozy, get comfy, and let's get spooky. In the quiet town of Waukesha, Wisconsin, May 30th, 2014, three young 12-year-old girls are very excited. Anissa Wire and Peyton Lautner were going for a sleepover at their friend Morgan Geyser's house. It had been Morgan's 12th birthday, and to celebrate, the three girls were going to go to the local roller skating rink and have food there and have a great ale party, and then afterwards go back to Morgan's for a sleepover, which all three of them seemed very excited for. The next morning, on Saturday, May 31st, 2014, the girls got up and they were playing on their tablets and their computers, and then they got dressed. They went downstairs for their breakfast and they asked Morgan's mother if it was okay for them to go to the park that day. Morgan's mum didn't see any issue with this because all of the girls were responsible, none of them ever really kind of got in any trouble as such, so she thought, what is the most dangerous thing that these 12-year-olds are going to get into? The three girls got ready and left for the park all excited. When the girls got to the park, they went to the bathrooms there, and Anissa and Morgan were kind of seemed a bit off, but that could have been to anything, Peyton thought anyway. Then Anissa accidentally fell into Peyton, causing Peyton to hit her head off the concrete wall. Then Morgan and Anissa suggested that they head to the woods that wasn't too far from the park, and it would be so cool to play a game of hide and seek there. So they did. They went off towards the woods. This was when things would take a drastic turn for the worst. Every parent's worst nightmare. So they got to the woods and Morgan was going to count while Anissa and Peyton hid. Anissa suggested to Peyton that she got on the ground to hide, and Peyton did. She thought, yeah, that's a cool idea. When Anissa got about 5 foot away from Peyton, she turned to Morgan and shouted, quote, "Go ballistic, go crazy." That was when Morgan stopped counting, jumped on top of Peyton, and began stabbing her, reportedly with a 5-inch kitchen knife that she had taken from her house. Anissa held Peyton down while Morgan stabbed her, stabbing Peyton a total of 19 times in the legs, arms and torso. Morgan stabbed her twice in major organs, cutting through her diaphragm, which hit her liver and stomach. She also managed to stab Peyton near the heart, but thankfully missed a major artery. The rest of the stab wounds were superficial. Peyton tried to get up off the ground when Morgan had stopped, but Anissa told her to lie down on the ground and to breathe slowly, that she would lose less blood this way. Then the two girls told Peyton that she shouldn't worry, that they were going to go get her help. This was a big, fat lie. After some time had passed and the two girls hadn't returned, Peyton managed to get herself up and drag herself to a small patch of grass out in the open area, away from the woods. Quote, "I got up, grabbed a couple of trees for support, I think, and then just walked until I hit a patch of grass where I could lay down," end quote. A man was out cycling and saw Peyton lying in the grass, so he called 911. Peyton was taken to the hospital straight away for extensive surgery, and the doctors told her that if the stab wound to her heart had been a width of a hair deeper, she would not have survived the attack. Peyton's surgery lasted about 6 hours. However, before she went into surgery, she was able to tell police who attacked her. The police began searching for Morgan and Anissa immediately after finding Peyton. Eventually, the pair were found near Interstate 94 near a furniture store, almost 4.9 miles from the crime scene. The two girls were heading towards Wisconsin-Nicolet National Forest. They were walking the almost 200 miles and thought that if they walked far enough into the 700,000-acre forest, they would find a mansion belonging to Slender Man. The girls didn't know that Peyton had survived her attack when police approached them. The officers noticed that they had blood on their clothes, and when asked where the blood came from, Morgan responded with, quote, "I was forced to stab my best friend." The two girls were brought in for questioning immediately. Police were stunned by how young the girls were. At the time of the attack, parents did not need to be present in the room during questioning in the state of Wisconsin, so the police decided to question the two girls separately and without parents, as they felt that the girls might be more honest if they were alone, which I think I'm inclined to agree with. When your mom and dad are sitting there, you tend to leave some shit out. Now, I think like they're 12, it's very controversial what they done and how they done it. But in the same breath, I do believe that they would have been less honest if their parents were there. This was when the case took a turn for the weird. Both girls, even though separated, told the police that the reason they attacked Peyton was because they needed to please Slender Man. Otherwise, he would have killed their families. They also needed to prove to everyone that Slender Man was real. Now, I know what you're thinking. I've heard of Slender Man. What the fuck's Slender Man? Slender Man is a fictional character that originated from a creepypasta meme that was created by Eric Knudsen in 2009 as part of a supernatural photo shoot competition. Eric had created a character that looked like a pale white man who's extremely thin and is faceless, and he wears a black suit. So Eric photoshopped this creepy guy into old photos and put captions on the pictures, such as, quote, "We didn't want to go, we didn't want to kill them, but its persistent silence and overstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time. 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead," end quote. Slenderman then soon became a viral success, with people writing creepypastas about him, and people would create fake photos and videos of, quote, Slenderman in these photos and videos. People also love to cosplay as Slenderman for like Comic-Con and such, and he also appears in video games. So Slender Man basically became an internet trend. And these creepypastas are basically scary stories. Just in case you don't know what a creepypasta is, it's basically scary stories that are made up, but are written as if like it happened to somebody. So Anissa and Morgan came across Slender Man on the internet, and being very impressionable 12-year-old girls, believed he was real. I'm just going to take a quick ad break before I get back right into the story. And we're back. So I left us off with Slender Man. Anissa told the police that Slender Man is the leader of Creepypasta, and in order to show him your dedication, you must kill someone. She told them that it was Morgan's idea to kill Peyton in order to become a proxy or slave of Slender Man, and proved to everyone that he was indeed real. Anissa was worried that if she didn't kill Peyton, that Slender Man was going to kill her family. So the two girls had come up with three separate ways to kill Peyton. The first plan was to put duct tape on Peyton's mouth while she slept during the sleepover and stab her in the neck. However, they decided to wait until the morning to kill her, saying that they were, quote, "too sleepy and tired" to go through with the murder. Imagine, we were just too sleepy, yawn, too tired to murder my best friend. The next morning, they came up with a plan, which was to go to the park. Whilst at the park, coax Peyton into the bathroom and kill her there, as there was a drain for the blood to go down. However, when they got to the bathrooms, the girls freaked out. Anissa pushed Peyton against the concrete wall in an attempt to knock her out, but it failed, and it just looked like she had accidentally bumped into her. She heard that it was easier to kill someone if they were unconscious or you couldn't see their eyes. Morgan, however, felt that they couldn't go through with it, so that's when they came up with a third plan, which was to play hide and seek in the woods. The woods wasn't far from the park and Peyton was easygoing. Anissa said that during the attack she could hear Peyton screaming in pain and shouting, "I hate you, I trusted you," which is heartbreaking. Her best friends are attempting to kill her. I too would feel very, very angry. Anissa thought Slenderman would appear to them then and there, but obviously he didn't. Anissa was visibly shook by what her and Morgan had done, and she was very worried about the life of Peyton. She kept asking police officers, was she okay? Was she still alive? Like, where was she? Was she in hospital? The police asked her if she knew what it meant to kill somebody, and she responded with, quote, "I believe it's ending a life, and I regret it." She told police that Morgan was the one that stabbed Peyton all 19 times. Quote, "The bad part of me wanted her to die. The good part of me wanted her to live." She told police that they were trying to get to Slenderman's mansion in the middle of the woods and wasn't sure how far that they had actually walked when police had found them. So when she arrives in custody, she's like, how far had we actually walked? Like, I have no idea how long we were walking. And like, even in the, because you can, there's video footage of the interviews and you can see, like, she is so distraught, so upset. Morgan's version of events wasn't much different than Anissa's. Morgan claimed that it was Anissa's idea to kill Peyton, and she thought that Anissa had stabbed Peyton first before handing her the knife, telling her to continue and to, quote, "go crazy, make sure she's down." Police asked Morgan what happened next, and Morgan just responded with, quote, "I already told you. Stab, 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 stab." She told the police that she didn't have any remorse for trying to kill Peyton. Quote, "I thought I would. I actually felt nothing," which is very unsettling for a 12-year-old. Morgan didn't really seem to grasp the severity of what she had done. While waiting on police to enter the room, she was humming and she was dancing around the interrogation room. She kind of was just chilled and relaxed. She wasn't sure how many times she'd actually stabbed Peyton. She could just hear her scream. She told police that she knew what she'd done was, quote, probably wrong. Morgan then asked the police, is it illegal to stab someone if it's in self-defense? The police told her that, like, it depends on the situation, but yeah, it's still pretty much illegal, and then asked her if that's what had happened. And after a moment of consideration, so she sat for a moment, considered her answer, and then replied, no. Morgan was charged with attempted first-degree homicide, and Anissa was charged with attempted second-degree homicide. Due to the severity of the case, the two girls were tried as adults, and many people saw issue with this as they were only 12 years of age. However, both police and Peyton agreed, adult crime means adult trial. I think it was Peyton who was like, they didn't rob sweets from a convenience store, they stabbed me a bunch of times. Which, I think I'm torn on that subject. I think I'm torn on whether or not they should have been tried as adults. Let me know your opinion on that in the comment section below the post for this on Instagram at giveusmorgue, because I would honestly love to hear y'all's opinion on whether they should have been tried as adults or not, on whether you agree or not on the adult crime means adult trial. I'd love to know that. In 2017, Anissa pleaded guilty to being a part of attempted second-degree homicide. However, a jury found her not guilty by mental disease or defect, meaning that Anissa believed wholeheartedly in Slenderman and therefore was not in the right state of mind at the time of the attempted murder. Anissa was sentenced to 25 years to life. She would have to spend at least 3 years in confinement and have treatment in a state psychiatric institute which would be followed up by supervision until she was 37 years of age. Morgan had entered a plea deal, which meant that she would not have a trial. Instead, she was evaluated by psychiatrists. They determined that Morgan had been suffering from schizophrenia, something which her father suffers from. She was going to need to be placed in a mental hospital. Morgan pleaded guilty to being a part of first-degree homicide, but was found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect and or defect. She was sentenced to 40 years to life. She would have to spend at least 3 years in confinement and have treatment in a state psychiatric institute until complete resolution of her symptoms or until she was 53 years of age, whichever happens first. Morgan will also need to be re-evaluated and or re-institutionalized as requested by her sentencing. During her trial, Morgan, she didn't have a proper trial. She had a type of trial. It was not a trial, a deposition where basically the doctors who evaluated her had to go on the stand and testify to she has schizophrenia. So I suppose it's probably more of a deposition than a trial. But during that, Morgan had to be placed in Winnebago Mental Health Institute, and she was their youngest patient. In 2020, Morgan petitioned to be retried as a minor. However, this was denied. Her lawyer argued that she should have been charged with attempted second-degree homicide instead of the first degree. He also argued that Morgan was read her Miranda rights at the end of her interview instead of at the start of her interview. The Supreme Court of Wisconsin is to review this ruling still. And on March 10th, 2021, Anissa, who is now 19 years of age, submitted a letter to the courts. In the letter, she expressed how sorry she was to not only Peyton, but to also her community. Quote, I hate my actions on May 31st, 2014, but through countless hours of therapy, I no longer hate myself for them. Judge Michael Bowron granted Anissa be released from Winnebago Mental Health Institute on July 1st, 2021. He gave the institute 60 days on July 1st of this year, he basically said Winnebago Mental Health Institute had 60 days to draw up a release plan, and he required that Anissa be assigned to the State Department of Health Services. Her progress is to still be tracked until she's 37 years of age, as required by her sentencing. And Anissa was released on Monday, the 13th of September, 2021, so only a few weeks ago. Anissa will have 24-hour GPS monitoring. She's not allowed to leave her county and is not allowed any social media, and her internet will also be monitored. She has to take medication, and she will be escorted to counselling sessions weekly or a couple of times a week. Peyton has done her best to regain a normal life since her attack. She told reporters that it took her a very long time to trust people again, even family. She would go to sleep with a knife or scissors underneath her bed because she was so frightened about what had happened to her. She was deeply haunted by the attack. The man who created Slender Man was deeply saddened to hear what had happened to Peyton, and the Waukesha School District blocked all links to the Wiki Creepypasta page. Members of the Creepypasta community held a live stream in honor of Peyton and tried to raise money for her, and the city of Madison, Wisconsin held a Bratwurst Festival to help raise money for Peyton's medical bills. And I think they did that because hot dogs was one of Peyton's favorite food, because I was Bratwurst is very random, but I think it's because she loved hot dogs. They managed to raise about $70,000, which is amazing. The case opened up a conversation about the effects of the internet on children. Since the attacks, there has been several movies based off what happened to Peyton, and there was even an episode of Law & Order SVU and an episode of Criminal Minds in which they used the case as inspiration. Peyton was asked what she would like to say to Morgan, and she said that she would like to say thank you, because she wouldn't be where she is now if she hadn't been attacked. Peyton wants to pursue a career in medicine, and it is because of her attack, which I think is a lovely ending to a very disturbing case. I think it definitely opened up a major conversation. Like, they were 12 years of age when they came across Slender. Well, they were 11 years of age when they came across Slender Man. And with Morgan having schizophrenia, which they didn't know at the time, it meant that she really, truly, like, thought Slender Man was real. And she was shocked when Slender Man hadn't shown up at the stabbing. She thought she was going to see him as she stabbed Peyton, and she didn't, and she was quite shocked at that. And both her and Anissa thought that they were going to find a mansion in the middle of the woods that belonged to him. She clearly and truly believed everything she read about him, which is upsetting because I don't think she would have stabbed her best friend if she hadn't come across Slender Man. And if I remember correctly, I think it was Anissa who found the creepypastas on Slender Man and showed Morgan. And I don't think necessarily Anissa believed in Slender Man to begin with. I think she thought, oh my god, this is really creepy, and what if it's real? And then she showed Morgan, and Morgan just became obsessed and was like, no, he's real. And I think in her really truly believing that he was real, that then made Anissa believe that he was real. Peyton, I think, was like, yeah, they had shown me Slender Man, but like, I knew it wasn't real. So she was extremely shocked at what had happened to her, which is really sad and really upsetting, because like, Anissa thought that her family was gonna die if she didn't try kill Peyton. And Morgan, I don't know what Morgan fully believed, to be honest. I think she was just unfortunately mentally ill. And I would like to say as well, I'm not saying that because she had schizophrenia, she killed or tried to kill her friend. I know there are so many people out there that can live healthy, normal lives with schizophrenia, but she unfortunately, they didn't know she had it, so they didn't know the signs to look out for. They didn't know, basically, and they didn't know that she would have needed help and that she would have needed medication and all that crack. And I think if she had gotten the help and gotten the medication, they never would have reached the point where they would have tried to kill Peyton. I got the documentary through YouTube, but I think it was originally on like ABC or something like that, one of them American channels. And I have to say, watching the documentary, it's very insightful because they do show you video clips of the interrogations and stuff. And I personally, and there was a lot of arguments over the interrogation, I personally don't, from what I was shown, I didn't feel like the police fed them any information. I think these 12-year-old girls openly gave all of this information. However, and I completely get that it's upsetting for the parents as well, but I personally felt like Morgan's parents, they were going on about how people are making out that their daughter is this monster and, you know, she's not and she's lovely. And to me, they were talking as if their daughter was the victim. And that, to me, was annoying because obviously don't send death threats to a 12-year-old. That's weird. But I feel like they kept forgetting Peyton quite literally almost died and is lucky to be alive. She didn't just stab her once or twice and then scurried off. She stabbed her 19 times. Like, that's, and she needed help. Absolutely. Her mental state was not where it was supposed to be, but she still stabbed somebody 19 times. And I feel like they were trying to make everyone feel sorry for their daughter. And I do, but what about Peyton? You know, that kind of thing. Like, she also had this horrible, horrible thing happen to her. And your concern is that people are making out that your daughter is a monster. Do you know? That just bugged me a little. But obviously, it was hard because I understood. But at the same time, like, if Anna stabbed her friend 19 times, I'd be like, well, shit. I would feel as a fuck up as a parent, personally. But they were like, people are making our child out to be a monster. And I was like, well, of course they are. That's what people do. That is what people do. You look at any murderer or attempted murderer, monsters is what people make them out to be. People don't care about their mental state or mental well-being at the time of the attacks. They just see that somebody was attacked. You know? Do you get what I'm saying? I hope so. Megan's probably going to cut half of this out because it's a lot of rambling. But anyway, I'll let you all go. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope you really liked it. It was kind of fun to research in the aspect of like delving into Slenderman. Obviously, it's a very sad case because they're such young girls and their whole lives, all three of them, their lives were completely 1000% changed in all sorts of manner. But it was an interesting case in the sense of delving into Slenderman. Some of the creepypastas are very entertaining as adults who know that Slenderman's not real. And I can understand why 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds thought it was real. So, there you go. Keep it spooky. It's October. Yeah. Spooky season's back. I love spooky season. It's my all-time fave. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to check out our Twitter at GiveUsMorg for updates on new episodes and such. And you can also check out our Instagram at GiveUsMorg. Like I said, leave a comment on your opinions on the case. Would love to read them. Or you can DM us on GiveUsMorg at GiveUsMorg on Instagram about your opinions on the case. Think it's super interesting just with the whole aspect of them being tried as adults and, you know, them believing in Slenderman. And if you haven't done so, check out our other episodes. Last week I talked about Angela Hammond. Super, super sad. And if you want to see who you're listening to, you can always check out our own personal Instagrams at Mrs_Neve and at Meg_Powell_Neve.